This is being recorded on videotape. So it will be broadcast later. Not right now, but later on. Very little about this. So if I ask you questions which sound sort of ignorant, I ask your indulgence.
Thank you.
You are the expert, and I know very, very little about this.
Expert is Krishna.
Yes, that much I understand, yes. In fact, Krishna is everything. So you are authorized.
I or anyone.
Program at number 153,
but maybe Sir Edwin Arnold followed Krishna. I don't know him.
Stand by.
That I do not know.
Well, maybe you ought to find out, because this is widely distributed in the United States. This is widely distributed in the United States.
No, my book is authorized.
Yes, I know. Yes.
Macmillan publishes every year 50,000.
That's the camera I open up to?
You can inquire from your side any reading matter from Bhagavad Gita original. That will be nice. Then I can explain.
All right.
Yes.
You're going to cue me, right? Lord Krishna is the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, as confirmed by all the Vedic scriptures and by the great sages in the disciplic succession. He has a body made of eternity, bliss, and all knowledge. God has infinite forms and expansions, but of all his forms, his original form, his transcendental form, is as a cowherd boy, a form which he reveals only to his most confidential devotees. So go the teachings of Krishna, as laid down in the Vedic literature, and of the sages in the disciplic succession, which I mentioned. One is our guest for this conversation today. He is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, foremost teacher in the West of the Krishna philosophy, which, moreover, he teaches not only by word, but by example. He came to this country in 1965 on orders of his spiritual master. As a Krishna disciple, he is the present human exponent of a line of succession going back 500 years to the appearance in India of Lord Caitanya, and beyond that to a time 5,000 years ago when Lord Krishna himself was on this planet and his words were recorded. Welcome, sir. What is Krishna consciousness?
Krishna consciousness means that every living being, part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna has got many expansions. That is called personal expansion and separated expansion. So separated expansions, we living entities. But although we are very intimately connected with Krishna, somehow or other, we are now separated by contact of material nature. So we have practically forgotten that we are part and parcel of Krishna. Actually, that is a fact. And because he is just like a rich man's son, somehow or other he has forgotten his father and is loitering in the street as a poor man. But actually that is not his position. He has forgotten simply. So this Krishna consciousness movement means we are trying to invoke that original consciousness, that he is part and parcel of Krishna. Why he should remain in this material world and suffer the threefold miseries? So we want to revive the original consciousness. The original consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Just like a man born of a large family, his title should be the large family. But unfortunately, forgetting his own home, he is accepting some menial title. So our whole Vedic literature is meant for that purpose, to revive his original consciousness on Brahmasmi.
You came, sir, to this country in 1965, as I said, on instructions or orders given you by your spiritual master. By the way, who was your spiritual master?
My spiritual master was Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada.
Now, in this line of succession that we were talking about earlier, this cyclic line of succession, which goes way back, all the way back to Krishna himself,
yes.
Right? Was your spiritual master the previous one before you?
Yes. The cyclic succession is coming from Krishna since 5,000 years.
Is your spiritual master still alive?
No. He has passed away in 1936.
So you are at this particular time then sort of the head in the world of this movement? Would that be correct?
I have got many other god brothers, but I was particularly ordered to do this and from the very beginning. So I am trying to please my spiritual master. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were sent to this country, to the United States of America. This is your territory, is that correct?
Yes.
And
my territory, what he said, that you go and speak this philosophy to the English-speaking public.
To the English-speaking world?
Yes, and especially in the Western world. Yes, he told me that.
When you came, sir, to this country about 15, 16 years ago and started...
No, not 15, 16 years.
6 years ago,
yes,
I beg your pardon,
yes.
To this part of the world, you did not come to a part of the world where religion was lacking as such. You know, in the United States of America, we have many religions, and I think people in this country like to believe in great majority that they are religious people. People who believe in God, you know, who devote themselves to some form of religious expression.
Yes.
And I wonder what your thinking was. What do you think that you could add to the already living religious expression in this country by coming here and adding your own philosophy to it?
Yes. When I first came to your country, I was guest of an Indian friend at Butler.
In Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yes.
So, although it was a small county, I was very much in Gladden. There were so many churches.
So many churches.
Yes. So many churches. And I spoke in many of the churches there. My host arranged for that. So, it was not with that purpose that I came here to defeat some religious process. That was not my purpose. Our mission is, Lord Chaitanya's mission is to teach everyone how to love God. That's all.
But in what way, sir, may I ask, in what way did you think and do you think right now that the teaching of the love of God which you are doing, is different and perhaps better than the teachings of the love of God, which already were being conducted in this country and have been conducted in the Western world for centuries.
That is fact. Because we are following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. He is considered, he is accepted by us according to the authority of Vedic literature. He is personally Krishna.
Which Lord is that?
It's Lord Chaitanya.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
Lord Chaitanya.
He is the one who came back 500 years ago?
Yeah, yes.
To India?
India, yes. So, he is Krishna himself, and he is teaching how to love Krishna. Therefore, his process is most authorized. Just like you are the expert in this establishment, if somebody is doing something, if you personally teaching, do like this. That is very authorized. So, God consciousness, God himself is teaching. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is God. He is speaking about himself. And at last he says, just surrender unto me, I take charge of. But people misunderstood. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna again came as Lord Chaitanya to teach people how to surrender. And because we are following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, the method is so sublime that even foreigners who never knew Krishna, they are surrendering. The method is so potent. So that was my purpose. We don't say that this religion is better than this religion, or my process is better. We want to see by the result. In the Sanskrit, there is a word, phalena parichyate. A thing is judged by the result.
A thing is judged by?
By the result.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
You can say, I can say, my method is very nice. You can say, your method is very nice. But we have to judge by the result. That is, Bhagavat says that process of religion is very good, following which one becomes a lover of God.
Yes, but of course, you know, your religion is not the only one which teaches this particular precept.
But that I am explaining, that it is not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
There are maybe many, but it is practically effective.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's say in the part of the world where, if I'm understanding your philosophy and your history correctly, in the part of the world where this particular philosophy and this particular belief originated, which is in India, right, in the eastern part of the world, at least as we look at it, is it successful there? You have a large following over there?
Oh, yes. Recently, I was in India. I held two meetings, I mean, continued for 10 days everywhere, and 20 to 30,000 people were attending daily.
Mm-hmm.
That India's position is that they are naturally Krishna conscious. But at the present moment, by the so-called leader, they want to replace this Krishna consciousness into material consciousness.
Is the Krishna consciousness belief or philosophy compatible with the Hindu religion, which
not
is
any religion.
Beg your pardon?
Any religion.
Any religion.
Because God is one. It is a science of God. The 2 + 2 = 4, it is understood by everyone. There is not that it is to be understood by the Christian, not by the Hindus. 2 + 2 = 4 is a fact for everyone. Similarly, God is a fact for everyone. Now, how to love God? This is the only process. That is.
Now, do you claim then that your way of loving God is the way to love God?
Yes, at least for this age.
For this age?
Yes.
You mean for Kali Yoga?
Yes.
For the time that we live in right
because
now?
Because the method is authorized. Krishna prescribes this. Krishna himself and Lord Chaitanya, he says that this is the only method for self-realization or for God-realization or to learn how to love God. He says, Krishna says, therefore it is authorized.
Mm-hmm.
And it is practically happening. Otherwise, these boys and girls, they are foreigners. They never knew Krishna. Now, I have got 60 centers, and each center, there are on the average 100 devotees. And they have dedicated their life. How it is happening, unless it is authorized?
Well, you know, they say they never knew Krishna, and you are, of course, right. But different peoples name their gods in different ways. You name your god Krishna. In the Western world, many, many people name their god Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. There are other peoples in different parts of the world who have different names for the gods which they pray for.
Yes,
pray
that's all right. We say in that connection that if you have got a name which is actually referring to God, that will also do. Just like we are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Right, yes.
So, according to Vedic literature, Krishnastu Bhagavan Sam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. This is the, he has got many names, thousands and millions of names. This is the original name. So, Chaitanya says, not that you have to chant Krishna, but if you have got actually a name for God, you can chant that. We are not asking you that you chant Krishna. If you have got actually a name for God, then you can chant that. We are requesting that you chant God's holy name.
But before, when you came here, now you came here in the middle 60s, less than a decade ago.
Yes.
What was it? This is what I'm trying to find out from you.
Yes.
What was the motivating force behind your coming to the United States?
That is already explained. That is already explained. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that these propaganda should be made all over the world and they will accept. So my Guru Maharaj said that you go and try to do this. So I came with this purpose. And it is happening.
There must have been an element, though, of dissatisfaction then on your part with the way God was being... Godhead was being professed in this part of the world before you came. Otherwise, there would have been no sense in
not
you coming
this part,
here.
Every part. Every part of the world, practically, everyone has very little interest in God. They have more interest in dog.
You are, in general, then trying to increase the interest in God. Is that correct?
Yes. That is the only interest we must have in human life.
And you are not particularly interested in what particular name this God has.
No. Our purpose, mission is that people may become God conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And the process is, in this age, by chanting the holy name of God. If you have got any name for God, which is actually name of God, then you will be successful by chanting that.
The chanting of Krishna's name, the Hare Krishna mantra, seems to play a very important role in the profession of your religious belief, right? In fact, I think I will ask you and some of your followers who are sitting here with us tonight, a little bit later, to chant the name of Krishna. That probably would be a proper ending to this particular program. However, I'm still wondering, you know, about some of the aspects. In reading a little bit, and I have not read much, of course, but in reading a little bit about your beliefs and your writings and, you know, your magazine, your publications.
I'm correct here that it is not my belief.
Well, in the belief, as you interpret it in your writings, let me put it that way.
Right.
It seems to me, sir, that there is a very high emphasis placed on the relationship between the individual and God.
Yes.
Much more so than upon
that
the...
That is for everyone.
Yes, but more emphasis on that relationship than on the relationship between one individual and another individual. Am I right in that?
No. We have to establish, first of all, our lost relationship with God, you see. Then we can understand what is a relationship between one individual to another. If the central point is missing, then there is practically no relation. Just like you are American, another is American, both of you, you feel American nationally because the center is America. So unless you understand God, you cannot understand what I am. Neither I can understand what you are. So we have to first of all re-establish our lost relationship with God, then we can establish talk of universal brotherhood. Otherwise, there will be discrimination. Just like in your country, or any country, they national. National means a man born in that land, is it not? But they do not take the animals as national. Why? They have no right to become national. And that is imperfect of knowledge. There is no God consciousness. Therefore, they think only the man born in this land is national, not others.
Yeah, that is not necessarily based on the religious principles, of course.
No, no, that is a philosophical principle.
Right.
Yeah, and religion without philosophy is sentiment.
Don't you think there are very good reasons for the existence of these rules and regulations in this respect?
Yes, rules and regulations must be established on philosophy. Otherwise it is sentiment, defective.
What?
Religion without philosophy is sentiment. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. Mm. They should be combined, philosophy and religion. Then it will be perfect.
I think that in this part of the world, in the Western world, at least as much as I'm aware of it, we do place a good deal of emphasis on religion and...
Based on philosophy.
Well, on religion, what I would like to highlight, what I would like to emphasize, is that we place a good deal of emphasis on religion in the ways it gets one man to deal with another man. The ethic of religion. Now, in the Krishna consciousness movement...
No, I must clear.
Beg your pardon?
We are not concerned how one man deal with another man.
And as a part of your Krishna consciousness movement?
No, because
this is not important.
This is not important. Because we know, as soon as one understands how to deal with God, he'll automatically deal with other men very nicely.
But, you know, let's take the Christian religion for an example.
No, I do not...
You know, the Ten Commandments,
for example. Yes.
There is a heavy emphasis in the Ten Commandments on the relationships between one human being and another. You know, yes. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, you know,
but that sort of thing.
But
I say that Jesus Christ never said, he never meant thou shalt not kill, means only human being. Where is that evidence? Jesus Christ never said, thou shalt not kill, means it means only human being. Thou shalt not kill any animal.
Any life.
Any life. That is really.
It has never been interpreted that way.
But you have interpreted differently. But he says, thou shalt not kill. He never says, thou shalt not kill amongst human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you interpret in that way?
How would I recognize a true follower of the Krishna consciousness movement by his behavior? What would his traits be? What would his outward expressions be?
Yes, he's behavior. He's a perfect gentleman, that's all. You cannot find any fault in him. That is Krishna, perfect Krishna consciousness. They are prohibited not to eat meat.
Not to eat meat?
No. Mm-hmm. They are prohibited for illicit sex life. They are prohibited to intoxication. They do not smoke even, or to speak of other intoxication, and they are prohibited not to indulge in gambling. So if they can observe these four rules and regulations, they become perfect men. Simply.
Or women, I presume.
Or men or men?
Men or women.
Anyone.
There is place for women in the religion too.
Man has got the same right. Just like we are getting married, boys and girls. They're following the same principle.
Mm.
So these are the four pillars of perfect life. And they are, if we indulge in these things, illicit sex life, meat eating, and intoxication, and gambling, then they become the four pillars of sinful life. And if we take them away, then they become, the private portion becomes the pillars of perfect life.
Now, I would like to ask you one more question, and I would like to ask you to end the program by chanting your mantra of Hare Krishna. One more question, though. In the 6 years that you have been in this country, in the United States, have you been encouraged or discouraged?
I'm encouraged.
Encouraged? Why?
Because so many devotees are coming daily.
You know, we have maybe, 2 dozen people sitting here, but of course there are, you know,
we have got 60 cents.
205 or 210 million Americans.
But you cannot, when you sell diamond, you cannot expect everyone will purchase. There must be profile customer for diamond. You cannot expect diamond is sold among mass of people. You cannot expect that.
Do you, in general, approve of this society, or do you have major complaints about it, the American society that you now live among?
I have no complaint. These boys and girls, they are very nice. I am rather encouraged that these boys and girls, they are so much inquisitive about Krishna. It is a best field everywhere. But these boys and girls, I can understand, they're hankering after something nice. They're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So they have gotten all the things, so they're coming.
All right. I would like to thank you very sincerely for giving us a very brief insight, you know, in the teachings and in the beliefs of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. May I ask you to ask your followers who are present here with us tonight to join you in the chanting of the mantra for just a minute to close out the program, please.
You can chant.
Go ahead.
Hare Krishna.